T-minus 3, 2, 1, 0.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Launch Sequence Podcast with good friend and YouTuber Morphologist this week. We're going to talk about we're going to talk about 322, which is fresh in everybody's memory. It's right. It's live on the EPTU for Wave 1. And then we're going to talk about a little follow-up of this guy's video this week, where he covered engineering and what people might think of it. So thank you so much for jumping on the show with me today, and welcome to hopefully what is a good conversation. I think it's going to be happy. I'm excited for engineering. I don't know about you, but how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How you doing, man?
I am good. I'm good. I'm settled. IAE is over. We have a couple of weeks before Luminalia, so I was going to say we can coast, but 322 is going, so
yeah,
not really much.
Yeah, indeed. But, so, and you haven't had a chance to go back to your back to Turkey yet, right?
No, we are going back next month. Unfortunately, right. Getting tickets to fly out there in like a week's notice is just not great for, you know, normal funding. So we're gonna take a month out and head back over there. For anybody who's wondering the context, that our house back in Turkey, the place we're renting, has been hit by a couple storms worse than they're supposed to be, and so we're getting some water inside and we got to get back and see what kind of damage there is. But
I really hope that your PC setup is okay, man. I mean, that would really, it's your livelihood, so
yeah. I think PC should be okay. It's more the everything else around it, like the keyboard, right, and the mice, right, and like all the power outlets. Unfortunately, the room itself has a ton of water damage, so we'll probably have to just move rooms when we get back. But that's, oh boy, that's a problem for another month.
I know. I understand. Well, just let me know how things turn out when you get there, and I'll see what I can do if I can help you at all.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.
So last time we really got to talk about SE was actually in person. We got to chill at CitizenCon together, and we saw a lot of the panels together and like Pyro and all of that stuff. How is the game? Have you been feeling about the game since then? It's been about a month. We've gone through IAE and other stuff. What's on your mind with it?
My feeling was that CitizenCon was really, really great, but the reality is that Star Citizen hasn't changed from before CitizenCon, really. Like, they're still on this very slow pace of releases with few features in each patch. So that's, I mean, we shouldn't have expected anything less, really. I mean, I think I was really optimistic. Maybe they were going to try to put some of the stuff in Q4 this year, but that was kind of silly. I think what it really is that they're, you know, they're still switching people back from Squadron back to Star Citizen. We're going to have to wait some time until we're going to see any kind of progress from Squadron in Star Citizen. But I mean, at least that the stuff that they showed off that they've been working on for Squadron is really, really great. And it gives me a lot of hope for the way the game will look and feel. So maybe some of the other panels give me more hope, though, for the actual functionality of the game, which, well, it's great. We need UI, we need maps, we need all the stuff that Squadron has. I think that the mechanics that they showed, like their rework to the flight model, the new multi-crew stuff, like that stuff's really important for like stepping forward for the future of Star Citizen. Obviously, you know, server meshing and the replication layer, like those are extremely vital as well. I mean, that goes almost without saying, but it's worth mentioning. We should mention it because they showed it off there. It gives me hope. Like, I know they're going to be able to achieve this, you know, and I'm pretty confident 2024 is going to be a much better year than 2023 or 2022 or 2021. You know,
You think
we still have some time before that starts happening.
You're going to have a more positive beginning of the year video this year? I know the last couple ones were a little bit more down.
I mean, I think the last couple of ones, despite what people are, you know, some people say like, oh, I don't know what I'm talking about, and it was a great year. I still disagree. I mean, if you look at the big picture, progress for Star Citizen has been very slow, and they've not been, I mean, they've been not necessarily denying it, but they've also been saying, hey, we're looking on Squadron 42. They're doing all but admitting that they know it's slow right now because they're working on Squadron. So if you're saying that it's fast, I think I think your maybe your perspective is too narrowly focused on what you've seen so far.
That's where it comes from, right? It's like it's faster.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I think with people's sense of what our bar has been set so low because how slow development has been since just before COVID until now, that that any little feature feels like is a big step forward. But you know the big picture of everything that Star Citizen still needs to get to a place where, you know, they can start doing things like tweaking and balancing and getting things working right in the way that they've envisioned it, we're so distant from that still.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff left to do. It's enormous. There's more stuff left to do than that's been done, really.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, I think it was last year, maybe, Yamix did a video with a bunch of different creators, and people were kind of asking, like, he was asking them, how far along do you think the game is? What's the percentage? And most people, I think, were answering below 50%, because there's a lot more work to do. I mean, what we're about to talk about today with engineering is one of the biggest probably parts of the game, right, in terms of overall ship systems and stuff, and it's coming in 10 years on, and there's still plenty more polishing and additions onto that gameplay that's going to have to happen afterwards. So we got a ways to go. And
I shouldn't have interrupted you. Go ahead. No, please continue.
Well, I was just going to say that you're saying the big picture things, server meshing, economy, those kinds of things are the things that we haven't been making progress on. Whereas these littler small features, like the things that people like a tractor beam or the ability to send money, are good, but they're not pushing the overall idea of Star Citizen forward.
Right. They're little features. They're a bunch of little features, and it's a product of a smaller team working on it. And that's, I mean, I have no doubt in my mind if that they didn't have Squadron, there would be a lot more progress. But then we might not have Star Citizen. So it's a catch 22. Squadron is part of the original funding of Star Citizen.
Right.
So I'm not saying that we shouldn't have it. It's just as unfortunate that it's taken so much from the progress of Star Citizen,
right?
And it's made it look, it's been a bit detrimental to the look of the game from the outside looking in, who don't follow development, because they see 10 years, over $500 million, but this much progress. I mean, like, you can't deny it. Majority of people looking at the game think like, oh, there's not been enough progress. People inside following it think there's not been enough progress. That's what it is. It is what it is.
I think, again, going back to CitizenCon, I think that helped a lot, though. The Star Engine, the trailer, and that people are starting to be like, oh, okay, they've put a lot of work into this, kind of.
Yep. One of the problems has always been that, like, okay, they're putting so much effort into Squadron, but what is that, like, is that effort really, like, what are they actually doing, you know? Mm-hmm. Now we get to see that. Yeah, we can see where the money went. We can see where all that money has gone. It's gone in the Squadron, and it looks amazing. Like, it's going to be an amazing looking game at the very least. I can't speak to the story because we don't know about it yet, so we can't make any assumptions.
Fingers crossed.
Rumors. Yeah. I mean, there's been the rumor mill going around that's like between 40 to 100 hours. I heard about that recently. It's really impressive. It's feature complete. It looks industry leading in terms of like fidelity of the visuals, mm-hmm. and the mechanics in it are also really fantastic. I mean, like the physics stuff and the like the interactions with NPCs, it all looks great. I mean, I'm super, it's definitely like, I'm just laying out what is, but I also think it's important to say, you know, there's a lot more of a bright future. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, you know. Squadron's going to come out sooner rather than later, like actually not 2 years away anymore. I think it's actually less than a year away.
I would hope less than a year. I'm banking on a little bit more, and kind of also hope for a little bit more, like, take your time, folks. But, you know, it's just good to know that it's there and we can see it. And like, there's just something to be able to grasp as the final goal for at least Squadron. Start talking more about Star Citizen, though. 322 in PTU. How are you feeling as that comes out? You know, you said that it felt like a slower patch given you expected some of the Squadron stuff to be coming out, but with the features that we're getting, what's it looking like to you?
Well, to be fair, we are getting a Squadron feature. It's the hair, but it's not
the hair.
All of the hair. It's not all of the hair. Some of the features that some of the hairstyles that you were looking forward to are not in there. It's just a couple extra hairs. I'm actually a little bit surprised they didn't add those, like more representation hairs. I thought that would have been a great thing to add in now.
Well, it seems like something that they're still having challenges on making. So they probably are gonna. It seems like they've got like two or maybe three levels of this sort of character customization update they want to do. I'm guessing we'll get the rest whenever they put the actual customizer in.
Sure.
And that is.
And we actually don't even have all the new faces yet either. So really, I think that there's like characters generally look pretty samey. I don't know how to, we played it long enough that we kind of see it now. Like all the characters kind of look samey because of the very limited gene pool that they're pulling from. So we need that too. It's not really, it's like a little taste test. Like, you know, like when you walk around, like a market and they gave you like a little stick with a piece of food on it.
That's Costco. Like, I was just doing that today.
It's a Costco. I was like, here, would you like to try the hair? Here you go. Have some hair. Sounds terrible.
Have a snack on this.
Have a snack on this hair.
Yeah, man. Everybody in Stanton keeps breeding with each other. So everyone looks the same. We can't get away from it. We got to get out to Pyro. Hair is one thing.
And glorious, by the way. Like the long hair looks glorious. There's like a Witcher hairstyle that I got going for my dude.
You got the ponytail?
Flick the hair, like, No. It's like long hair, like the Witcher.
Oh, okay.
It looks awesome.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
It's good stuff, but it's not like, it's not really that game changing. It's not going to make the game any different than it is right now. Most people wear their helmets. So the only time you're ever going to see it is when someone rarely has their helmet off, but people don't take their helmets off because it's so dangerous. That one burrito or that one drink, that's when they'll take their helmets off. But like there's pockets of no oxygen in like Lorville still, so like you're gonna die if you keep your hair. And by the way, you can't walk outside in Lorville, FYI.
Right, what's up with that?
I think that they added some kind of like air quality feature to Hurston so that, you know, you actually do have to worry about it, but maybe it's too extreme because there are NPCs walking around outside with that without helmets or masks on, so they should be passing out too.
I think
they put it on too high, so they've got to probably balance that.
That's a really interesting feature though to add. I mean, I know that they want to do stuff like this, but I'm kind of surprised that we just randomly got that this early.
Indeed.
Okay.
But it's cool. I mean, it's a little bit of progress. So then what else we got? We got
salvage.
We got the salvage is like, I guess that's the big feature.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about it. The salvage munching is what was supposed to be included part of the original release of salvage. Like stuff got really stretched out, pushed back because of how long it took for them to get things to where they want them to be. So, I mean, we're really looking at a feature that's been stretched out over the year. Or when was the first time that salvage was introduced?
Came in March.
So it's part of an existing feature. It doesn't really deserve to be like the main feature, does it? It's like following up an old feature. It's great, I mean, like it adds something, but it's still not massively a step forward. It does make salvage a little bit more interesting, I would say, but it's not, because I tried it. It's cool. Like you break stuff up. But it's a bit similar, but still inferior in terms of mechanics to mining. I think it's not to the level of mining yet.
I would agree with you there. I think we have a few steps to go with salvage to get to where mining is, and then even a few steps past mining to get to where they want to be.
Mining still isn't where it probably should be either. Like, let's be fair. But mining is great, by the way. Like, it's the best mining system of any game out there. But I would say, I mean, most games are go there, point laser, that's it.
You know, that
you get a job done.
Smack rock. Yeah, so, I mean, they've got work to do on it. And I think it's worth noting that like where mining is going to be the same as salvage. Mining has gadgets that you attach to something. Salvage is probably going to have charges that you put in the ship. There's going to be, you're not just going to disintegrate ships all the time. Eventually, we're going to be breaking it up. They'll probably use the Maelstrom system to help make this look a little bit better. Like there's more to do with salvage, but I do think it's nice now that you're not like, when you talk about salvage, what most people are thinking is like, I want to destroy a ship, take it and block it into cubes and sell it. And this is kind of the first time we've ever been able to do something like that. Cause you're not just scraping off the edge of it and then flying away. If that feels It's nice, it's relaxing, it's calming, but it feels so unsubstantial compared to showing up to a place and then leaving that place and the entire hammerhead is gone, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that. And I like that we can now remove components, scrape the hull, and get rid of the hull. But
yeah, the one thing that holds back salvage is that it's tied to ship balance, and ship balance isn't there yet because of a lot of missing systems. So I was just discussing this on stream last night, but I realized, you know, components aren't worth anything. They're not, you can strip them on the ships that you're allowed to strip them from, but they're not worth anything. And that's because the insurance system for ships just isn't to where it needs to be yet. Mm-hmm. Because of various reasons. There's a lot of reasons why that is. But the idea is that they should be worth a lot of money, but they're not now, because otherwise, if they were, you could just keep insurance claiming and making money off of them, which is what people were doing. They were too valuable, and it wasn't balanced. And I get that. It was kind of like a loophole to make stupid amounts of money, which, by the way, I don't think Sanji should care so much about. The economy doesn't matter right now. There's nothing to work towards, really, except for buying more ships temporarily until it's reset. So I mean, like, I don't think that's a big deal, but anyway, so that's the point. For salvage to like us to want to actually go and grab these parts, they need to be worth a lot of money, and they need a system where like some of them maybe are damaged and some of them aren't damaged, so yeah, you can see that visually and identify which ones you want to take. Like, oh man, hey look, this is a class A military component, dang, I want to take this back, this is worth like 100k or something. Like, we need to get to that point. Mm-hmm. We're not there yet. So it's like, it kind of feels like it's missing a big part of it. Like, wreck diving is going to be, I think, going to be a lot of fun. And also, salvage, I should point out too, that they still haven't updated the models yet from the old system for when a ship is disabled. So back in the old days, for performance reasons, when a ship was destroyed, they would only retain the skin of the outside of the ship, and the inside would be completely gone. So yeah, when a ship blows up now and it stays and you fly inside, everything in the interior is gone. It looks really silly. they haven't had the resources to go and fix that, to add a wrecked version of the ship's interior. But I think we need to get to that point to make salvage better. Once it gets to that point, it's going to be its own kind of experience. And even if you're not making, you don't have the same, like, a bunch of stuff to do, like you don't have hand usables or whatever, maybe they'll get to that point where they have hand usables for salvage. Yeah. I still think it'll be different enough to be like, today I want to do salvage versus mining, because, you know, I want to dive into a spooky wreck and find, you know, cool stuff in there. I mean, think about when they have interiors, like they could put other stuff in there. They could put like spacesuits. They could put boxes. They could put like tons of stuff that you would find in a wrecked ship floating around in space, other than just the components.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential with salvage. I agree there. You're absolutely spot on with the idea of the items and the economy and like how we care about them. That's so much of the point of salvage. It's like not even focused on, are we using a beam or not? It's like, what's the point of doing it? What are you actually going for? Like, there's a lot that's just still doesn't matter. That's part of why mining doesn't matter either, and why people keep asking for an economy, but then they can't put it together because we just don't have enough locations and stuff. There's
right.
It's there's so much of a bottleneck around these types of things.
There's no sink for those materials, because what, you go and refine them and you sell them for money, and then the money is used to do what? What's the overarching goal? Like, once you get a mole, you've reached the top of mining. What else do you do? It just becomes more of a group activity to have fun doing. It's like the sandbox, sure. But I think that we still need some big overarching driving force. And I think that's going to come in next year with base building, if they're able to get any kind of form of, and I really hope that they do it sooner rather than later. I hope they prioritize something. And I'm like, I don't mind if they give us like it piecemeal. If they just give us, say, for example, the ability to put down like a flag or something to claim an area, and then to put down like resource mining area, like things to like gain more money, then people will fight over that. And, you know, fight over, you know, destroying those turrets. The turrets will, if you can build turrets, those turrets will cost money to build. They'll cost resources. Maybe they have, you have to take salvage components, and you have to take mining raw materials, and you have to combine them to make your turret defense for your little plot of land in Pyro, right? And then you build that stuff, and then you're fighting over it, and it's constantly taking your resources, and you're constantly working together. Hey, we need more of this. Please go do some salvage. Hey, we need more some raw materials. Please go do some mining. Then everything's like, all these systems are working together from different parts for one goal, to build a base. Like yeah. That's going to be the initial driving force. Later on, there's going to be more stuff, I think. But for now, in the short term, long term future, it's a good point. But we're not there yet. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I can't wait for that. I really can't. But as a feature, just as a standalone feature, what do you think of the way Salvage is progressing? Do you like it?
I think it's progressing all right. Like I said, I think we're only like maybe less than halfway there with Salvage. Like looking at all the things that need to come in still with it, but it's going in a good direction. I mean, I think that the way that they've done the breaking up of the ships and stuff after stripping it is pretty cool. I mean, I guess I was thinking maybe they're going to do some cutting or something like they did with hard space shipbreakers, but that was probably too much to ask. Maybe they will with Maelstrom, because Maelstrom allows you to break stuff apart. Maybe they will have a more free cutting tool. I think that would be great. It would give just a little bit more intention to it. I guess maybe that's the one thing that I think is not that great about it, is it still, I think the reason why it feels so similar to mining isn't that because when you break down the mechanics of it, it's so similar. It's because there's not enough intention to the way you're doing it. Like if you had to be careful not to, for example, break apart the hull where the reactor is in a certain way, otherwise it'll explode. I mean, I think that part of Hard Space Shipbreaker was so great, is that you had to be really careful about how you took a ship apart, or the ship would be destroyed and possibly you would be killed. Like, mm-hmm. I kind of wish that they had that kind of thing. So there's a little bit more of a thought process about doing ship salvaging, but
yeah, I think they've definitely got some stuff to do there. And the lasers would be great, because even today I went to go salvage a hammerhead with the Vulture, and I had to sit there and shoot it until it exploded to salvage it, because I couldn't just cut it apart into chunks to make it small enough. So there's some level of extra tools we're going to need, and I think that's sort of like the components, subcomponents, and gadgets of mining that we'll eventually see. At least I hope so.
Yeah.
Sooner than later. The other big feature, there's also arena commander changes, some weapon changes, but I want to get to the engineering discussion, so I just want to talk about one more feature in 3.22, and that is the cargo container and inventory stuff. Have you gotten to experiment with that a lot?
Yeah, I experimented with it a little bit last night. It was not what I expected. The image is very deceiving. They showed that in the cargo container from Siege of Orison, where you can like pound in a code and it opens and you can put stuff in it. That's the thumbnail for it, right? That's not what it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You can't
buy
those.
It's not like physicalized. No.
No. It is physicalized. It's physicalized. It's
well,
actually,
I mean,
really
it's
cool.
Like you can't like physically put a gun into a box just yet.
No. Cool. You can't physically put a gun into a box. But yeah. I actually don't care about that so much right now. Like, I think what we really need are the base functionalities of all the components of Star Citizen and their interlocking functionality with how they relate to each other. That's what we need as a base starting point, and then they can work out the details of making that more involved. Yeah. I think that's a better, personally, I'm not a game designer, but I feel that's a better approach, because at least then you have a base layer of like a game there.
It works. Yeah.
Right, it works, right? So they kind of took that approach, I think, with cargo. It doesn't connect to something like bigger yet, but what you can do is you can go from size 1 to size, I think it's 12, up to size 12 SCU boxes. So you can get really, basically it's like a 2x2, so it's a really big box.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a really, really big one. I actually can go bigger than that. And what you can do is it basically functions as a container that you can open and store things in. And you can do it in your inventory, like in the ship, like once you buy it at the cargo deck, it'll pop into your inventory and you can open it in your inventory and then put stuff into it. Actually, you can also buy things and put them directly into the container from like a kiosk. So you can select a sublocation as that object location, and then you can have it go in there. I didn't see any option to name them, by the way, which is kind of unfortunate, because you can't have like a sorted inventory, which I'm sure a lot of you guys probably were like, oh man, I could sort my inventory. Nope, not yet. Hopefully soon.
We're so close.
Yeah, soon. Yeah, they really need to give us the ability to label those.
It would be incredible.
And color them. Label and color them, actually, because when they're physicalized, I think it'd be great to be able to see like red is my suit of armor, blue's my weapons or something, you know, like I can have like a bunch of different color schemes to organize. Yeah. Anyway, it'll be really great. Okay, actually, let me finish what you can do. So after you buy, you put in your inventory, you can actually go into the hangar and then drag and drop it from your inventory into your ship. Now, I would caution you from doing that well inside your ship. You should do it on the flight deck, because I did this and it went into my ship and started like jumping around and then it vanished. So I lost what was inside of it. So don't do it inside your ship. Do it.
At least it didn't explode.
It didn't explode. Yeah, at least it didn't explode. So do it outside. I mean, this is the type of jank that I'm totally cool with. This is Star Citizen, man. I expect this kind of thing.
EPTU,
but anyway,
also, like,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
as early as it gets besides Evocati.
Yeah, indeed. It's as early as it basically, yeah. Like, it was. This is the first patch since Evocati. So it's like literally pretty much Evocati right now. So anyway, you drop it onto the floor, and then you can actually use your tractor beam in a safe zone. So you just drag it onto your ship's grid, and that's it. But so like the great thing about it is, like, for example, if you get an org event, right, you want everybody to have a kit ready to go. But, you know, whenever you're herding cats for doing events, you know, everybody getting the right equipment to the right uniform and stuff, it's kind of a pain in the butt. So what you can do is you can prepare all the uniforms in one box, set it onto your ship's cargo grid, and then have everybody go up to the box and take stuff out and like prepare themselves for the event. So I feel like it's going to be a great logistical solving tool. Now, for other things, like example, there are some informal trades going on that aren't supported by any in-game mechanics necessarily. Like Salty Mike goes and collects railguns and then he sells them for a good price because you can't buy them in game. Like, he could put them a bunch of them into one SCU box and then sell that to somebody as a collection. Like, that just facilitates his existing loot, but it's not, you know, like, you can still get robbed. Like, there's a lot of issues with the way that he has to do it because there's not any supporting mechanics in the game, really. But it will help with stuff like that. Yeah, they could just take it, basically kill him and take it, which I suppose you could say is, oh, that's cool, but we need a little bit more. Like, there would definitely be a way in this universe for you to trade more safely, because people would realize, like, hey, that can happen all the time. We probably shouldn't trade this way. Let's do somewhere safe.
Every trade in this super civilized star system is like two people randomly meeting in a random spot on like a moon surface. It's like, here's your guns, give me your money. It's just no set way to do it yet. So the cargo changes are amazing. Even as such a simple thing as being able to spawn a box that's 1 SCU or bigger, going down to a bunker and trying to get all the loot in a freaking 1/8 SCU box was impossible. So you'd have to
do
a bunch of weird workarounds to do it. Now you can just take a 1 SCU down there, throw, I was trying this today, you gather all the stuff up around the box, you go into the inventory screen, and you can just drag stuff straight into the box from the ground and then sell it off your ship when you get back to the station. It's going to speed up the ability for like somebody who loves to do FPS to be able to just make money off loot now much easier than just doing the missions.
Personally, I think that's a problem. They should give us a backpack. We could do that. Now, I know the backpack would have a stupidly big interior size, but it's going to look kind of silly. People dragging giant 1 SCU boxes down to the bunkers along with them to do bunkers. I mean,
it is.
Think about it.
Yeah. No, it is.
It's kind of silly.
It's a workaround for now. We need, I mean, there are different things I'm imagining they're working on. Like, we saw that, that cargo trolley they're working on for the, distribution center, so like some stuff like that would be great, because I was trying to get the box, you know, the little doorways that go into the bunkers, they're like maybe 10 centimeters wider than a 1 SCU box, so when you're trying to get through there, it's like Tetris. It's horrible. So we would need, I think, better tools for this, but as a pure representation of like a moving interactable inventory that's open to all in the area, it's we've needed this for a long time. I'm glad
Agreed.
To see it.
You know, one thing I wonder, I don't think it's possible, but they should allow us to drag the single sub-SCU boxes into them. Because if you could, for example, at Jump Town, you could put the box outside and drag the drugs into it. Hmm. And it'd be a lot easier to carry it. Stuff like that, I think, would be, like, it would definitely factor into the loop a little bit better with stuff like that. But it's a great first step. I think it'll, there are more ways than I think we're even imagining it could help. Like, if you want to transport a bunch of hand mineables, like, you've got a bunch of How do you transport those? You could put them in your backpack, but you might want to put them in on your ship grid, and you just throw them into your into the single SU box and then sell them off of that. I mean, maybe it's more troublesome. I don't know, but well, you could do it that way.
It also makes me think differently because, like, now that I'm taking a 1SU box down, I'm looting, you know, 20 different guns. Now I'm paying more attention to, okay, how much does a gun actually weigh? How much SCU does this? I've never cared about what SCU feet, like how much SCU a gun would take up until I started putting them in 1SU box to loot. And I suddenly realized, like, okay, so this is the first step in us starting to actually care about the units of dimensions or measurements in this game and the amount of weight that something has, because our ships are going to be affected by that. It all feels like it's starting to make an actual difference in the gameplay when it comes to inventory. So I love to see that also happening. And the fact that we can nest those boxes is really cool. You can get one SU box, like you said, of chest armor. You can get one SCU box of guns, one SCU box of grenades, and then put them all into a 4SCU box, and people can access those boxes separately without having to take them out of that bigger box, which is, it's like you said, a lot of opportunities probably that we're not thinking of with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff we can explore with it. It's like it's one of those like small features that has a lot of implications. I wouldn't say it's a huge step forward for the game, but it's a great thing to have. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see what it does. Yeah, for sure.
I look forward to the rest of the cargo refactor. Now, we've been... Now I told you guys we're going to talk about engineering, and now we are. We're 30 minutes in, and I wanted to make sure we got some discussion about 322, but now the actual topic of the day. Let's start with the basics here. You just made a video about engineering this last week. I think it's done very well. A lot of people have seen it. A lot of comments and discussion about whether or not this is necessary for the game or anything like that. But I want to start from the very basics with you. Is this something that you've been looking forward to personally?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, like, I've always wanted to have a big ship to play on with my friends to do like a Star Trek kind of experience where you've got an engineering team, a command team, you know, like, There's everybody's got a role and it's fun. Like, we're all working together on the ship to complete our objective. So I'm super excited for the way that it's been explained. And I think it's needed to make those big ships feel more balanced. But we also kind of need the part of the video was actually talking about the Master Modes rework, because I think we need that as part of this to justify the additional time input to these ships. But we can get into that. But yeah, no, I'm generally excited about it. It's very, very cool. I love everything they've shown. And I don't have any really big issues with it.
And for you, this feels like, I mean, you said even that it's kind of necessary for balance. You think that this just, the game wouldn't work without engineering, or is it more just good gameplay for them to have in the game?
I think it's good gameplay for one, for sure. Like, that's, I don't think that should be overlooked. But the other thing is, we need to have it where big ships cost something. Like, they can't just be better, just objectively better than other ships, like smaller ships. They need to have some kind of like time investment to justify their power and to balance them overall. You can have a bunch of big ships on your fleet, but then you've got to maintain those big ships. That's the cost of it. If there's no cost of it, then, you know, like, you really do have this issue where the more money you spend, the more power you have. And I really am worried about that for Star Citizen's balance. I really don't want it to be where, you know, like, if you're a really rich dude in real life, you spend a lot of money in Star Citizen, you're just really, you're way better than anybody else in the game. Like, you've got everything and you have no cost to it. Like, that, I would hate for that to be the case in the end.
Have you seen... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just... Yeah, that's it. I had nothing else to say on that.
Have you seen people talking like that's kind of what they were expecting?
I think that they've... CIG have created a situation where that's how it's perceived by some people in the community. They look at it as a pay-to-win game, because that is now an accepted way of doing games in certain areas. Like, for mobile games, pay to wins are super common now. Like, people go and look for them and they want to spend money and lord that power over other people. There are definitely people like that in the Star Citizen community. They want to see the real world wealth translate into in-game power over other people. But that's not everybody. Some people just feel like, I spent so much money, I should have a lot more power over other people. And I don't want to be limited. Like, I already spent this money, I don't want to be limited by this new mechanic. This is ridiculous. I didn't know about this. I thought I had this big ship. I'm going to be the big bad, man. Like, it's a lot of money for me. Like, there's that attitude too. Because they weren't falling close with development. They didn't know that this was coming. But I think that there's also some people who had heard about the NPC crews and they were looking at this game as more of a solo game where other people are there somewhere in space. Like, it's a single player game, but sometimes you run into people.
Would
and you're
going
to have your NPC crew.
You think that won't be possible?
What, that it'll be a solo game?
Yeah, like you can just play it basically solo while there's other people in space existing around you.
I mean, in a big ship, you mean?
Can well, you play no, solo no, in a big at ship? All, in any way.
No, like, you need to be able to play it solo. There needs to be an option to play Star Citizen solo. Not everybody can be together with other people at all times.
Okay, so you're just specifically talking about a big ship.
I'm specifically talking about big ships. Yeah, like when you get into that realm, that should be like, I feel like it should be more of an org thing. You know, big ships require maintenance and people and stuff. It should be more involved with other people.
And you said earlier that you feel like CIG has this situation on their hands now where people don't understand this. Do you think there could have been a better way that they could like have communicated that over the years so that people didn't end up coming to this realization so late?
I mean, I think that they, in one sense, it's hard for them to put down their foot and say this is exactly how it's going to be in the future, because they need some wiggle room depending on what technologies enable, right? So maybe they can't accomplish some of the things they want to accomplish, and they don't want to be tied down too much about that. So they have talked about NPCs in the past, about how you could have NPCs be your crew.
Yeah.
But I think that there's not been enough clarification about whether or not they're a full replacement for real humans. Like, if there's, what are the advantages or disadvantages? Clearly, because I think the idea that people got is that they're just going to be able to have an NPC crew. And I'm not sure if that's the case. Maybe it is.
It's the hard part about this game.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know what exactly the features they're going to have means. Like, they talk about farming. But we don't know what that means.
Yeah.
It could just mean that you're putting a seed in the ground. It could mean that you're, like, building compost. So it's hard to know what an NPC crew could be.
But to be fair, though, if you look at the poll, a lot of people are informed about the NPC stuff, because the majority of people answered that. There was only a smaller percentage that knew about, that didn't know about them, actually.
Yeah, so
it seems like most viewers knew about these mechanics were coming in. So when I say about a lot of people, I mean, it is a lot of people, but it's not the majority. The majority of people knew, but surprisingly, the majority of people want to still play the game solo. And want to play it solo in a big ship with an NPC crew. That is the majority of people who watch my videos, out of, I think, probably close down to 14,000 people who went into and submitted their opinion on that poll. So it is not an insignificant amount of people who are looking to play the game solo. Now, that might be possible, but my personal feeling is that I hope it's not better than working together with other people, because otherwise we really do have a situation where money equals power, real world money equals power in Star Citizen. So it is pay to win, basically. It's a pay to win game.
Yeah. That conversation is more difficult because of when you get out of combat, you know, it's almost like, who are you competing with? But I agree with you there that when money starts to equal power, and to an extent that will always be the case in this game, I think, but when it's that overwhelming, that like just getting a big ship just gives you that much better experience, that seems a little bit dangerous for the game. Because there should be two different ways of experiencing this game in a group and solo. And like, you should get tangibly different experiences from the game doing that. If they suddenly allow this very unique group experience to be experienced by solo players, then that collapses, I feel like, a big part of the community.
I mean, I think when it comes down to it, there just needs to be a reward for working together, because it's harder to work together with other people than it is to play the game solo. If somebody playing solo can be equal to the power of people working together, that's not fair to the people who are working together. I know the person playing solo be like, well, it's not fair to me because I want to play solo. I don't want to play with friends. But I think it's, you've got two people versus one person who's upset. I lean towards the people who are working together and putting that extra effort forward to get some kind of additional benefit of working together.
I agree with you there. So let's talk about what engineering actually is. There's quite a bit to it. And actually what they're starting out with to add, it doesn't feel like it's the whole idea of engineering. What are you getting from kind of this first iteration that they're doing? What does it include?
Well, it looks like it's going to include it's going to include some kind of damage system where components can be damaged and have to be repaired. And there's a resource network that you can pay attention to through your ships. Like, there's an access screen for engineering where you can see them, all the different connections between all the components. And like, you have to run around and fix them to keep your ship flying. I mean, that's like the super simplified overhead view of what it is. But I think what it does is it makes big ships more interesting to get into combat with, and it gives crew a purpose beyond just being in a turret, which I think what the problem is working together in a big ship with people right now is it's kind of boring. Mm-hmm. Like only when you've got a combat ship where you're shooting something, and there's very few scenarios where this works well, because it only works against NPCs right now. Like, if you try this against player, you're gonna get ridiculous, you're gonna get owned. Like, there's no big ship in the game that works right now against a fleet of light ships. A fleet of light ships absolutely murders the same amount of people in a big ship.
Yeah.
So, the few times you use it, it's just not that fun. So now, aside from just shooting, like, there's that in between where you have to do some repairing. And if you've ever played Sea of Thieves, it's a lot of fun. Like, it's a very simple mechanic of putting up boards and like scooping out water, but like, it gets really hectic and fun, and you work together and you. It's really rewarding too when you come out on top, because you work together as a team to achieve that that victory, you know.
So in Sea of Thieves, I think that is a very good parallel to this, and it is a lot of fun. I agree. When you're scooping out the water and you're patching up the holes in the deck, it tends to be pretty long. I mean, it can feel really long. It's not actually that long, but like 2 minutes, 5 minutes of doing that is a lot. But in Star Citizen, you blow up in like 30 seconds, which I think worries a lot of people. And they're like, hey, well, how am I supposed to do engineering when we're just dying all of a sudden?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think they said this in that presentation, is that their intention is to make the death of ships more about the components being disabled, like the individual bits of the ship being disabled, not about the ship's overall health pool reaching zero and then it explodes. Mm-hmm. It's more about like that person needs to target the engines, the generators and stuff, and the shield generators, and they've got to disable those things to like fully disable a ship. So the cool thing is that if you've got a crew, you could be going around and repairing those, replacing those while you're in a fight, making it a lot harder for your ship to go down. So if you've got a really good crew, the ship's going to last a whole lot longer in a battle than the other big ships that might be around there, or the small ships that are flying around trying to kill you. So like, it adds some, a lot of survivability to a big ship. So that becomes a benefit of working together with people over playing by yourself in a way.
Yeah.
So,
and when they're talking about like this damage going to components, a lot of people probably might struggle to put together a list of the components a standard ship would have. Can you list those off?
Yep, sure. You've got your shield generators, you've got your quantum drive, you've got your coolers, you've got your power plant. Am I missing anything? I think those are the
they're adding the batteries.
The batteries, right? That's a new thing. So they'll have batteries as well. But there are also going to be air scrubbers as part of the new system, which if you looked at If you looked at the screen, I actually noticed going back and making that video that they do have air scrubbers listed as part of the network. So there's going to be something physical that you have to replace. And there's going to be fuses that connect the nodes of all of your systems. So they're like these interconnection points between all the ship systems that can get knocked out. You replace the fuse and it goes back up again. So there's going to be a lot more than just the standard components that we've had so far. The first iteration, I think it's just those, though. There will be, possibly there might be something to do with oxygen, though. It looks like if you looked at the screen, there was also, they talked about how oxygen is a finite resource in the Q&A afterward. But if you looked at the screen at CitizenCon, they actually do show some percentages at the lower left-hand corner of the screen where it shows you, like, there's this much oxygen left in their tanks. So I think that oxygen will become a thing to worry about potentially, just so long as suits, you can't wear suits forever. I mean, if you can wear suits forever like you can now, it won't matter. But if that does become a factor, then you will have to worry about your oxygen going too far down in battle. So that'll be interesting, too.
Yeah, that's, man, it's going to be a lot. So that's several components, and you got fuses to replace. Right. Obviously, you'll be able to have damage to the outside of your ship. Now, that's getting more into repair, so we won't really go into that. But it's overwhelming, I think, for a lot of people when they listen to it the first time. And I guess my next question would be, do you think that this is going to be a big deal for, say, a ship like an Avenger Titan? It's got an interior, but it's not really going to be doing a lot of stuff that's power intensive. There's no mining lasers or tractor beams or even a lot of combat that's going on.
Right. I mean, I think that for the smaller you go, the more similar it's going to be to the way the system works now, with only benefits. Because in a ship like an Avenger Titan, if you get damaged to the point where you explode, I think that you're still going to have that kind of situation. But if you don't explode and you make it out, you can have a situation where instead of going back to repair, say in Pyro, where the system's really big, you could just set down somewhere, take out your repair tool, take out the component, repair it, and put it back. And then you don't, like, you're more self-sufficient. So I think those small ships with interiors are going to become really self-sufficient for places like Pyro, where there are a few places to repair and rearm and refuel and stuff. So I think it's going to be a good thing.
I think that
the people maybe are overreacting a little bit to it. It's only going to matter mostly, I think, for combat. It's not going to matter so much for your day-to-day flying about.
Yeah.
As long as you like spend some time maintaining your ship.
Torsten lays it out like a car, right? And it makes a ton of sense when you think about it that way. You're not taking your car out and worrying about the engine going out every time you drive, because you take care of your car. If the engine light turns on, you get it repaired. If suddenly you start getting some like backfires, you don't freak out and stop driving the car. You just take it to the shop or something. So I think if they were able to maybe just show, like, because what they showed us was very exaggerated at CitizenCon, right? So now if they were able to just show, like, a time-lapse idea of how actually long it can take for a component to get worn down, that might help people. Because, yeah, from what they say, it doesn't sound that bad for smaller ships. But you mentioned combat. What about, say, the Arastra? It's got 3 mining lasers and a refinery on it. Do you think engineering is going to impact the way that people can use a ship like that?
Oh, absolutely. Any big ship's going to be an impact. Like, with the way they've explained the system, it's just going to be more maintenance, more things to pay attention to when you own a big ship. It'll be like the Arastra is going to make you a ton of money, but there needs to be some cost to that. And the cost is going to be that it's a big ship with a lot of components that needs to be looked after. Does it have to be looked after every second? Probably not, but like, you're going to have to go over every so often, check over, you know, the components in the hallways, make sure their health's okay, you know, check the engineering screen, make sure nothing's gone to yellow or red, and go repair them if they have. It's just going to add another I personally think it's going to be more interesting this way, because if all you had to worry about is going out and mining, you don't really feel connected to your ship in the same way, I would argue. I feel like having to worry about your ship's repair, you get more invested into the well-being of the ship and paying attention to things. It becomes more of a physical presence in the world.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I think we need that. Star, like, ships in Star Citizen currently don't have much value. I think if you, like, put a lot of time and effort into, like, maintaining a ship, and that's actually valuable, those components, when you lose them, it's going to make people actually care more and not want to die so easily. And, like, just, hey, I'm going to log off, reclaim a ship. It's more true. It's more easy that way, you know?
Yeah. We're getting really close to that. I mean, between the larger customization options for ships, now you can start using your ship for storage with these crates, bed logouts working a little bit better, engineering, like aesthetic wear and tear. It's starting to get to the point where you can actually care about your ship more, which is cool.
Definitely, yeah.
So, let's see. Let's talk about the people who are still very kind of hesitant about this. Somebody who doesn't want to experience these kinds of additional parts of gameplay, what advice would you give them?
I mean, it's kind of like a tough luck kind of thing. I mean, I don't control the games, the way the game is being made.
Somebody told me that you make all the decisions.
I know.
Didn't you get the A2 nerfed?
Apparently I did, yeah. You can see, like, it's a completely different ship now. Anyway, I would say that, I'm sorry, you know, like, it's unfortunate that you were led to believe that the ship was going to be something that it's not, that you can't solo fly it, that it's not trouble-free. But those people are very few. I think a lot of people just wanted, like I said, an NPC crew to help deal with those issues. But since we don't have that NPC crew, it's hard to say, like, hey, you were wrong in thinking this. I don't know.
Do you think they should be getting NPC crew out, or even could get NPC crew out in time for this?
I don't think they can get NPC crew out in time for this. I mean, NPC can barely function right now walking in a straight line. You can, like, them going around repairing stuff. Yeah, right.
They'd probably do more damage than good.
I think they would. I think they'd get in the way even. Yeah. They could stick them in turrets, but.
Right.
I mean, whatever about that. So, I guess it would help a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, it wouldn't make sense to tell them to delay engineering until the NPC crew is ready, right?
Yeah, no, it wouldn't make any sense. I think that they need to just test this and get it out. Like I said, I don't think it's going to be as big a deal as people are making it out to be. Look, we're not... To all the people who are worried about it, we're still so early days. How often are you actually flying your big ship around, your big combat ship around in combat? Like, come on. Very few. I've never seen a big ship in actual PvP. Nobody's doing it because it's you get murdered. It's going to be the same thing. So we're still not going to see those big ships very often. It's just going to be more of like a novelty. People do it for a little bit until Master Modes gets reworked. And I think that's a different part of this conversation, is I think that for this system really to become more commonly used and become really a factor in the balance of the game, is we need to have big ships actually be useful in combat.
Yeah, I mean,
without the Master Modes rework, they're not.
And it feels like the way that they've talked about how they want to build capital ships, and it really seems like they have almost a separate idea for how combat will work for them. Like, I feel like they must be building combat, not from the ground up, but reimagining it a bit as they build the Polaris. To better define what it's going to look like.
Yogi actually explained it that it's not his idea, it's CIG's idea, so this is also coming from Chris. It's like they want big ships to be more like naval ships, so it's they're big, they're lumbering, they're not like zooming around the battlefield. Their function is to worry about positioning and resource management. So are in the right position to better utilize all their weapons? And are the damage control crews, are they doing a good enough job keeping up with the incoming damage that you're receiving? And when you come, like if you got two javelins versus one another, what it's going to come down to is which pilot has better positioned the ship to take advantage of all the firepower the ship has to offer, and, you know, roll the ship when it needs to take advantage of better shields on the other side that are more fresher, you know, the armor, where armor still exists. Mm-hmm. And what team on board the ship is able to keep the ship running when it receives damage. That's going to be big ship battles. Like, that's how it's going to play out. It's not going to be super fast. It's going to be like a slugfest over a long period of time.
Yeah.
relative to like a small two fighters going at each other, where it's like a few seconds and boom, one of them explodes and that's it. It's done for the light fighter. And then Yogi explained that in between there's going to be like a gradient, so every ship will be different, because it's when you get in between there's so many variances in these ship types, like, you know, the Carrick, the Polaris, the Kraken, like they're in different scales, so they're going to fly very unique to themselves. So some of them might be more like, I would say, imagine, he didn't give this example, but I imagine the Kraken might fly more similar to a Javelin, where it's more about positioning because it's like a carrier. Whereas maybe the Idris would be more focused on maneuvering a little bit more because it needs to use its railgun. And the Polaris would be more about maybe a little bit more similar. It'd be more about navigating more quickly. It has more engines. It needs to get in and out. So maybe even though it's a big ship, it's a Corvette. It moves in fast. It moves out fast. It's not like a fighter, you know, but it's still a little bit faster. I mean, it seems like that's how they're thinking about it. They're thinking very much in terms of naval combat, with the light fighters being kind of like the airplanes, you know, that we have, like the jets.
I mean, it's the freaking Star Wars Episode 3 opening scene fantasy that people have been imagining for a space combat game. And that's what I imagined, at least when we played like Battlefront 2 back in 2005. I was always the guy, I wanted to see those two maps, the map on the planet and the map up in space, where you're fighting between two capital ships and you're fighting between ground bases. Wanted to see those combined. And that's what it feels like the capital ship combat in this game is pointing towards. But that's another reason why maybe people in these smaller ships shouldn't be as worried for engineering, because that's what it's meant for, right?
That's what it's meant for. I mean, I think that those big ships, part of the balance of what the way they were supposed to work is that, because otherwise, if it's just about DPS, then whatever ship started shooting first always wins. It's never going to be about anything else. So we need that type of like damage control system to be that X factor of keeping a ship in a battle. Like if one team's really, really good, then, you know, that means that they're going to win. And actually, that might be a way to balance the NPC crews, because if you think about it, the NPC crew will be fixing stuff at a pretty consistent set rate. So if you've got two NPC crew at Javelins coming up with one human pilot and they start fighting each other, whoever started shooting first is going to win, because their repair crews are going to be working at the same exact pace.
Yeah.
But if one of them has players on board, they'll probably be way more efficient at repairing it.
I agree with you there, but then there's also the proficiencies that they try to introduce with the virtual AI. So I'm betting that there's going to be some sort of level of variance you can have in that crew, and it'll be interesting to see if like the best crew, how they match up to a human.
Yeah, I mean, I really, really hope, this is just a hope, that the very, very best NPC crew will still be no match for a human crew. But
yeah, I think that's a good balance mechanic.
Yeah, I mean, because we can't have, I mean, I really, like I said, I really don't want to see one player I'd rather have 80 people in a Javelin than 80 Javelins, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's more interesting, personally, but I think there will be some people, obviously more than half the community is probably going to disagree with me. Looking at the poll, they're probably going to say, I'd rather have 80 Javelins. Well, I mean, want to pilot my own Javelin. I don't want anybody else on board my Javelin. I want to be by myself in my Javelin with all my NPC crew.
I was going to say, you've seen how many Javelins they've sold. So
yeah, they sold a lot of Javelins.
We'll have to see. But I'm looking forward to seeing like the people who are trying to, you know, putting out the experiments of like, can we run a Polaris at full capacity with four people? You know, and they're just sprinting around the ship. They're just masters of the layout. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're working like a well-oiled machine, and they're just taking people out with like three or four people on a ship. I can't wait to see that kind of stuff. It's going to be really entertaining what people come up with with capital ships and with the engineering gameplay. I think this is a really good expansion to the game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be overall positive, and we need to just wait and see before people get too upset about it. Obviously, it's going to be balanced. It needs to be balanced in some way. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be perfect when it comes out, and they warned us about that. But it's a big step forward. Like, that is the kind of progress that I've been looking for. That is progress right there. That's like a whole mechanic to the game to make. It's going to change big ships forever. Like that's not hyperbole. It's going to be a completely different experience.
Finally, it's nice to see so many big initiatives that they've been like talking about for so long, like even just the damage system and things like this, and engineering and inventory and all this stuff actually being made and put into the game. And going all the way back to the beginning of our conversation, we were talking about how some people feel like it's been fast because it's faster. It's certainly the conversations that we have about the features coming in are night and day to like 2 or 3 years ago. So that is at least very nice.
Yeah. But I mean, the conversations we had years ago about what they were working on, I mean, those things were leading up to this. So it's not like that they suddenly came, like it suddenly happened. It was, mm-hmm. they've been working on it. You know, maybe it's not very many people, but they've been working on it since then, on and off, because of Squadron.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What do you think of the animations for, like, the repair and stuff when it comes to engineering? People maybe say they're too simple, it's Beam Citizen. What's your take?
I think that that's a problem for sure for the future of the game, but right now it's fine. Because, like I said earlier, when I talked about, like, how I would build a game if I were a game designer, just getting the base functionality down first and like balancing that is more important than trying to make everything really fancy. So the fancy stuff can come later. Like, I think definitely it'd be very cool if there was an animation to physically pull pieces off of a component and replace it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that'd be much more engaging. But we don't need that right now. In the same way, like I kind of wish that medical gameplay had something more involved, like Tarkov, where like you're wrapping your arm or something, you know, like when you break your arm, yeah. or wrapping your leg, you know, like I think that'd be more immersive. But is it necessary for right now? Nah, probably not. Like, mm-hmm. let's just get the mechanics in first and then worry about that later. I'm cool with that. I mean, yeah. it's technically still, I know it's a meme at this point, but it's alpha. So, I mean, you know, just we can polish later. Let's get these, because I'm more interested in the big picture, all the mechanics working together.
Yep.
With gameplay loops. I want to get to that point with Star Citizen where we can like sit down, play it for like a weekend and be really happy. Like, we don't feel any issues. Like, you don't feel much is missing. Like, we had a really good, really fun experience. You know, we're not making our own experiences up. We're just playing what's there, what they give us as a fun time, you know? So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. The alpha take is a meme, but it's the truth. I mean, everything looks like that. The salvage mechanic we saw added in 322, it's simplified. It's going to get better. Medical, like you said, same thing. Inventories, like we talked about, same thing. So with repair, you know, we all know it's not just going to be a beam. It would be crazy to have a whole ship like the Crucible ready to do repair and then just be now it's got some beams on it.
To be fair to them, like, it's not just beams. There are fires with fire extinguishers, and there are fuses to replace by hand. Like, it is more involved than medical gameplay, for example. Like, there are other things you need to do that are aside from beams. But in terms of just that repair thing, and people are too focused on that, there's other stuff you're going to have to do. Mm-hmm. Like, someone's going to have to be paying attention to the screen and pointing out what air filter's gone bad. The room has been disconnected. The node's gone down. That component needs to be repaired. There's a fire started in that room downstairs. Get over there. Get down to deck A. You know, like, put that fire out. You know, there's going to be so much different stuff to do. I don't think anyone's going to worry about that there are beams.
Yeah.
Same way that, you know, if you look at the Sea of Thieves, people don't complain about, like, I hate how it's the same animation every time I patch a hole. It's not about that, because you're more worried about there's a hole here, there's a hole there. Oh, I got to get back up there, start shooting again. Hey, they're boarding the ship. Oh, crap, there's water in here. I got to shovel that out. There's, like, so much stuff going on. You're not, like, you're having fun. You're not sitting there thinking analytically about this certain animation that's being repeated. I think that's what it's going to be for Star Citizen when you get into combat. It's going to be like, there's enough stuff to do. You're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be interesting. Probably want to win, but win or lose, it'll still be fun.
We have a lot of time to focus on the little things now. And I agree. It's more about how these things are going to interact with each other now than how they look. And there's a lot more to it. Like you said, like, you got these beams, but when they talk about engineering, they talk about there being three different roles. They talk about the mechanic, the manager, and the tuner. And we're really only seeing the manager and the mechanic here with, like you said, the kiosk where you can kind of look on the screen and see what's going on. And the mechanic who goes around and fixes stuff, but they're still ship tuning. Making sure that the startup process works well, and making sure that you are planning your parts for long term. But yeah, we don't know what that is. And in addition to that, the gameplay is still going to get deeper.
I mean, I think that the one thing that's going to possibly be in the first iteration, but I'm not sure, is the resource allocation, like the where the power goes with the batteries.
Mm-hmm.
That too will be another thing to manage, because they explained that wear and tear is going to have a detrimental effect on components that have more power going to them for longer. So if you're max powering your shields all the time, your shields are going to wear down faster and have more misfires.
Yeah, and I guess maybe that's what they're considering to be tuning. At least
maybe that's
iteration.
What they're imagining, but I thought they said component tuning. So I feel like there is going to be a component tuning thing with it as well. But yeah, they didn't talk about what that means at all. But I mean, I think what they've explained is going to be enough interesting stuff.
Yeah.
To anything they add on beyond that is going to be icing on the cake. Because like I said, going back to Sea of Thieves, that system is super simple. It's just patching holes and shoveling out water. And it's already super hectic, like crazy hectic. So imagine like, just the systems they've explained is going to be 2-3 times more complex than Sea of Thieves. So in a much bigger ship with way more people. So it's going to be chaos, glorious chaos.
Yeah. And when you're talking about somebody who takes a certain role, like an engineer, you're not talking about, hey, yeah, I'm an engineer. I engineer ships. You're going to be like, I'm the 890 jump engineer. I know this ship well enough that you guys won't be hectic, because I can run this ship like it's no problem. And I think that's going to be exciting for orgs, where people can really start to specialize in what exactly it is they're doing for what kind of mission or what kind of game.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, like, each ship is going to be unique for the new resource network, as they explain. So you're going to have to learn each ship and what the weak points are and what's going to have to be repaired more often. So, like, an engineer's got a lot of experience. Along with the team that repairs that ship, they're going to have a really big advantage in that ship. So, like, learning a ship is going to be a big deal, and I think that'll be great. It'll be great. It'll also be important for people attacking those ships too. Like, knowing where those components are to shoot at will be key to disabling a ship.
Yep.
So it'll work both ways.
And you'll be able to hack in and possibly disable it remotely as well. That's just another angle that we haven't even talked about yet. But for this gameplay to be overall feasible, if they wanted to get this in the next year or 6 months, what would you say they need to do before that happens? Like, what needs to be fixed for this to be feasible?
Ooh, I don't think anything needs to be fixed, because the game is already at a consistent state of brokenness that, you know, like, if we had it in today with what we have now, I mean, I'd be okay with it. It's already, the game already has weird stuff where the ship explodes from random invisible space debris. I think we're good to go. Like, you can get it in as soon as possible. I'm excited to test it and see what it does for the game, like how it needs to be balanced. We need to get there, because I actually also want to get to seeing like how this works over time with cost of a ship and maintaining big ships. Like, how long does it work for wear and tear? Like, how long before a component needs to be replaced? If a component needs to be replaced, that's like a money sink. So like, you've got a reason to earn money because you want to maintain the big ships that you fly. That starts to help out a little bit, I think, with the economy, such as it is.
Yeah.
That'd be
a fun test to run.
Yeah, for sure.
Just record how much money you're spending every day running this thing at full capacity. I bet CIG would love that data.
Another factor in ship reviews, you know, like, hey, buy this ship, but maintenance costs are high. You know, it's like buying... Like, hey, you can buy that really cheap Bentley, but the replacement parts on that are going to be worth more than the Bentley itself. You know, like, that kind of thing. You know, some ships have stupid high, some cars have stupid high maintenance costs. And I think that'll be, like, that could be like origin ships. Maybe origin ships are stupidly expensive to maintain. Like, you can fly around a fancy ship, but yeah, it's going to be expensive.
With all the material stuff they want to put into it and everything, yeah, I mean, I'm sure they'll figure out a way to screw over the origin owners and make the Drake owners happy. Not that Drake is easy to repair. Okay, it's easy to repair.
Well, I mean,
it's good for you.
I would look at it this way. If you're an Origin owner, you like the style, you want to flaunt that wealth, right? Like, the fact that you can fly it around because it costs so much to fly is another way to flaunt your wealth. So, I mean, it's just an added layer of flaunting.
There
so,
wow, he must take such great care of his ship.
He must. Oh, he's got to so have rich. So much money to maintain that 8-handed jump. How can he fly it around for the box deliveries?
Wow. Great for them. I guess we should just all let them have origin ships. Good job. Keep it up. The last part of this gameplay that I think is actually really important, that maybe even should be its own feature, is the ability to assign roles on the ships. So like, you're specifically, you have access to weapons, you have access to these ship systems to allow, make sure people don't like come in and just start shutting stuff down. But they haven't really talked too much about that, have they?
No, they haven't. But you know what? I don't think it's going to be a big deal until we get into the really big ships. Like once we get to the like Polaris, Idris, Javelin, when we've got extremely big ships where it's hard to keep track of who's on your ship, then it's going to matter more. But for ships like the size of the C2, A2, Hammerhead, it's a big ship, but it's not that big. You're going to notice if there's some weird guy running around. Like I don't think it'll be as big of a deal for, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we'll find out.
Know like, before.
Oh, shoot. You know, now we really do need, we really do need ship roles on this access things and stuff so that people can't just turn off components, but we'll have to see. Yeah. I think that might be ship sabotage. I think will be a real possibility though, going in.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's going to be interesting to watch this whole thing.
Ship,
man.
Security is going to be, well, I mean, they did add in the ship trespassing. So You now have the means to shoot people who are on board your ship who are not supposed to be there without any repercussions. So that I think is already going to help out quite a lot. So if they're not in your party, then that's problem solved. Just get rid of them.
Yep.
But nothing is going to solve. Like real espionage won't be solved even with that kind of system, because there, if somebody really like wants to, you know, weave their way into an org just to disable the Javelin at a key point in time, there's setting permissions isn't going to prevent that, because if he gains your trust to get access to those systems, you're doomed.
Yep.
And you won't know it until it's too late. So
that's going to be fun to deal with.
Yep. You know, it's going to happen, especially to streamers.
Yeah.
Good luck.
That's,
good luck, Tomato.
I don't. Good luck to you, man.
No, I know. We've got a lot of big ships in our org.
You guys have a lot of people.
We actually have, I have a community member named Commander Jack. He's a really great friend of mine, and he's helped organize what we used to call Starfleet, but now we're changing the name to something else. But effectively, it's like this part of the org where we have like a bunch of people, groups, basically, that are assigned as ships for the future. So like we've got like a Javelin crew, an Idris crew, like people have a ship, they make a crew, and other people agree to be part of that crew. So like that, we're trying to get, you know, ready for that kind of experience. It's going to be a lot of fun when we can actually put that work to use.
Yes. So, and actually start acting on it. Agreed. Org gameplay, I think, is going to be a good, I'm hoping next year we get something like an update on that, because I've been waiting to do like a Citizen Central on org gameplay and get some folks together, because, you know, that's almost like the, I don't want to say elephant in the room, but orgs are going to be a big part of Star Citizen, and guild gameplay in MMOs is already big. This is, they're just setting it up to be bigger here. So the fact that it's so quiet.
It's really frustrating, isn't it? Because they're talking about now base building, and what's base building without orgs? It's going to just be all individuals instead of, and until we've got the ability as an org to use it together. So they need to, come on, we got to get, and this is, I think, one of the problems with them focusing on Squadron is Squadron doesn't care about multiplayer features, and orgs are a multiplayer feature. This is the result I've been talking about. It's like, yeah, sure, you can talk about how it's going to come down from Squadron, sure, but the reality is that Star Citizen actually needs a lot more multiplayer features to make it an actual game. Part of that is
org. You can't even see your org list in the game. You can't send someone a friend request from in-game without being right next to them.
There's effectively there's no way to tell if somebody's an org in game right now. There's no org chat, there's no org tag, there's no org paint system, there's no org like guild area where you can meet. Like there's literally nothing. It's just a bunch of individuals. Everything is organized right now purely off the game on Discord. So, or on Spectrum, but I mean, like it's like the Spectrum has no connection to the game at all. So it's effectively like just another way of doing it. So most people use Discord anyway.
Those are the kinds of systems that are really going to help engineering make a difference. Like engineering is going to be great gameplay, but once we have the ability to support group gameplay better, then a system like engineering will make a bigger difference. And I hope that that's something they're focusing on, because we see it all coming along. Like, there's so much group gameplay stuff coming along, from inventory stuff to, I mean, Pyro, we're just going to have to require groups, to engineering, all of this. So I hope we hear more about that early next year.
Please. Yeah, we need to hear, we haven't heard anything about org stuff, anything. Yeah. So, like, I can't even remember if we've ever heard anything about it.
Back in 2018, in the road to release, they said that org 2.0 is going to come before persistence.
But that could have been for reputation. Remember when they were talking about reputation, like they're having organizations for, like, you can have reputation for organizations. Like, yeah, that's what it was referring to, I think.
I think they meant it to be for our org, because they made it like a big pillar. It was up there next to persistence and server meshing and object container streaming. Like, they were trying to make it a big deal. And then they just never touched on it again, from what I know.
Well, someday. I mean, they're having their meetings today right now about getting people pushed over to Star Citizen from Squadron, and we'll start seeing the fruits of that switch next year, quarter one, going into quarter four, where it starts to ramp up. We still have some ramping up to do before we get there. Hopefully, we start to see these things done. I mean, like, I really, really, really genuinely hope that when we have more hands on deck for Star Citizen, we're finally going to start to see an acceleration of new content for Star Citizen, not just hand-me-downs from Squadron.
So do I. I really do. I'm going to get you back on the show probably beginning of next year so that we can talk about that stuff. But that about wraps us up for the day. Thank you so much for joining me for this one, Morph. This is a good talk. Engineering is going to be a exciting piece of gameplay, and I really do hope that they can do a lot more to kind of explain the nuance of it. But before you go, can you let the folks know where they can find you?
You can find me on YouTube, youtube.com/morphologist, or on Twitch, same. So twitch.tv/morphologist. And my name is spelled right here below me. So you can
Morphologist. It's very right it's very simple. Works very well. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate you coming on. As always, it's great talking to you. Folks, check them out in the show notes down below, but also the video from the engineering that we talked about is pretty good. It's got some great, I love the filming with the crew and the engineering in game and everything. It's a nice touch.
Thank you. I've had a lot of fun making that editing. Like, all the audio in the beginning is all post SFX. So
very well done.
Thank you. Good stuff, man.
All right, guys. Thanks again for coming to this episode. As always, you can find it on audio platforms if you don't like the YouTube ads, but I appreciate that you watch it anywhere you do. I'll see you all next week. Have a good one.